Well, ladies, it's your day. Last week while you were gone, many of you, we did courageous men, husbands, and fathers. And so I think it's only appropriate that we also talk about courageous women, wives, and mothers. And I just have a question for you. How many of you know what the current population of the United States is? Anybody know what the current population is? Throw out a guess there. 400 million, what'd you say? 183 million. What else? Who else got a guess? 380 million. All right, 325 million people. You can go onto Google, you can go onto the World Population website, and it will show you developing at the moment. So right now, 325 million. And what percentage of those do you think are female? 67? What do you think? 52. 52.5. Not quite as lopsided as you might think. 50.6% are female. So there are more women than men. 165 million women, 160 million men, but only a little bit more. So, you know, the girls actually win that award there. Most more women. But the sad part is, regardless of how many there are, many of them feel intimidated. Many of them feel lesser than men. Some don't. But even the church, one of the things I want to say to you women today, the church has been one of the main culprits in my mind of making women feel like they are less. And in my scripture, I don't see this. I don't see this at all. In fact, let me remind you, where did God take the bone from Adam to make woman? Was it from the head so that she could rule over man? Was it from the pinky toe so that man could rule over her? I think it is beautiful that the rib is in the middle. Equal parts, equal responsibilities. Sure, the men, last week we talked about it, men, you have to take your leadership responsibility, but it's a servant responsibility. Ladies, God has not made you lesser. Your responsibility, your role in this family, in this society, in this church is vital, especially as times get more and more difficult. It's going to take more and more courageous men and women to stand against the tides of this time. So today, I want to talk about what it means to be a courageous woman, wife, and mother. And I decided there's so many passages to go to, so many great women to look at, from Esther through Deborah to Mary, all these great women in the Scripture. But the thing that stood out to me, I found a new thing that I can't wait to share with you today. From Proverbs 31. You know the Proverbs 31 woman. All the women hate the Proverbs 31 woman, okay? And here's what I want to tell you. I don't think this is a woman at all. This is characteristics of women in general. And so today I want to look at Proverbs 31, a wonderful poem at the end of the book of Proverbs, and I'll explain to you why this is so wonderful and so powerful. But let's begin with prayer. Lord God, I thank you this morning for all the great women in your scripture, all the great women in history, all the great women in this church and in this society and this family and in our lives, Lord, that have made such a powerful impression upon our hearts. And Lord God, on behalf of all the churches, we don't put women down. We lift them up. I believe that Jesus Christ in his ministry lifted women out of the views of many, that they were lesser, and he placed them on a pedestal of responsibility just like men. And Father God, it's not a point of whether you're male or female. It's a point of whether you're going to be following courageously the person who is Jesus Christ, whether we are following after him by faith. And Lord, today I pray for our women here, that they would be courageous women and wives and mothers. Lord God, that you would use this proverb, the end of this proverb, this beautiful poem, to empower them, not to make them feel less, but to make them feel praised. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth as a man, that these women would look through my words and look to your word. I am not telling you this. This is from God's word. And therefore, I pray the words of my mouth would not be my words, but your words spoken through me. That each of us here today may receive the message that we need to receive. Wherever you are today, whatever you're dealing with today, I pray that the Holy Spirit will penetrate that, will convict you in places and guide you and encourage you in others. And Holy Spirit, we give you the right to take over at any moment and lead this in a different direction. Lord, we give it all to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn over to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 in your Bible. Anybody know who wrote Proverbs by any chance? Solomon, right. This is the wisdom books, all right? And in Proverbs is a collection of wisdom ideas. And what's really neat about this is, what do you notice about chapter 31 if you have your Bible? What do you notice about that? It's the last chapter in Proverbs. In fact, this poem is the last part of the whole book of Proverbs. So in other words, Solomon says, look, I've told you about wisdom for 30 chapters. And now I want to show you a picture of wisdom. And it's a woman. It's women of valor. Courageous women, wives, and mothers. Now before we get into this, let me tell you a few things you may not know about this wonderful poem from verse 10 all the way to 31. Is actually a poem, okay? I call it a poem of praise, okay? It's a poem of praise, and what's really neat about it, and you can't see this in the English translation, but this is an acrostic poem, okay? If you were to look at the original Hebrew, the first letter of each sentence is the different letter of the alphabet, and it goes through. Anybody know how many letters in the Hebrew alphabet? 31. So 31, so each one of these starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's beautiful. And this poem, we could say in another way, is the ABCs of what it means to be a valiant woman. Okay? And like I said, this is a picture of wisdom. Turn over in Proverbs right quick, back to chapter 1. Because back in chapter 1 of Proverbs, Solomon gives us the reason why he's writing Proverbs. Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Why? Look at verse 2. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. And then verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So this is a picture of wisdom. He says, look, I've been telling you throughout Proverbs what wisdom looks like. And then he finishes with this summary poem about a woman. And I really want you to see this, ladies. This is really, really cool. In my research, I found out that this is actually a Sabbath song. A Sabbath song sung by men in honor of their women. You see, that this writing here is not someone saying, women, this is what you ought to be doing. Because so many women feel like this is a put upon. I'm like, wow, this woman does this and this and this, and nobody can live up to it. No. This is a Sabbath song, a song they sang on Friday night, part of the Sabbat service there in the Jewish faith. And this was an opportunity to lift up the virtues of womanhood. To lift it up and say, this is what we see in the women that God has created. These are courageous women and wives and mothers, and they deserve honor and praise. So this is a song that I want to share with you. And this song, to me, says so much about what it means to be a courageous woman today, a courageous wife today, a courageous mother. So I divided it up into five sections here in this poem. Let's look at the first section, just verse 10 there. Proverbs 31:10 says this, "A wife of noble character, who can find?" Hard to find. "She is worth far more than rubies." Now, here's the part I've been waiting to tell you. I learned these two Hebrew words, and I want to pass them on to you. I want you to learn them, okay? Eshet chayil. Eshet chayil. Again, you get to spit in Hebrew quite a bit, you know? Chayil. The guy on the, I was listening to the actual, I think, oh, they'll never get this. All right, eshet chayil. Eshet chayil, okay? Now, what this is, the word eshet is woman, okay? And chayil here is what they translate in the NIV as noble character. But I began to study this throughout the scriptures. Over 200 times the word chayil is used in the scripture. And in fact, it's much more than noble. In fact, in my opinion, a better translation of it is a woman of valor. A woman of valor. A person of valor is what this courageous woman is. And this eshet chayil, in fact, in Judges 6:12, we find that the angel appeared to Gideon. Remember, they were fixing to go to attack, and Gideon had too many armies, right? And so in Judges 6:12, the angel came to Gideon and says, "You are a warrior of valor." Said that to Gideon. That's the same word, chayil. You are a man of military valor. And then in Ruth 3:11, we also see that Ruth is told in Ruth 3:11, a woman of noble character, or you're a woman of great value. Now, this is important because Ruth was single at this time. This is also for single women. Don't think it's just for wives and mothers, but it's for women. All of us, all of you, we all have to be courageous men and women. And so I say to you, eshet chayil, in our modern lingo, would be, go, girl. Go, girl. Just like last week, in 1 Corinthians 16:13, he says, be man of courage. Man up. Here in the Old Testament, go, girl, eshet chayil. Eshet chayil. In fact, in the Hebrew world, even to this day, when they toast a woman who does something great, guess what they say? Eshet chayil. Go, girl. Eshet chayil. Be a woman of valor, girl. Come on, stand up to yourself. You are a woman of value. You're a courageous woman. Eshet chayil. Stand up and take your place. And again, we get so hung up in self-esteem issues and all these things. And I understand they're real. We've all been in battle. But what I want you to know is the scripture, and I believe God himself, lifts women as much as he lifts men. There is no divergence between these, that God values men and women separately. I don't believe he does. Now, we have definite role differences. And God has called men to be the leader of the home and the leader of the church. But underneath that blanket, in my opinion, underneath that umbrella, women need to practice the God-given gifts that he's given them. Get out there and get to about it. Eshet chayil, go, girl. And I love what he says here. A woman of noble character, eshet chayil, a woman of valor. He says, very hard to find. She is worth far more than rubies. Great value. You girls, you women are a great value. We cannot continue to try to make this one or the other. Both men and women both need to rise up in these times and become courageous people. But you women too, man, we need to raise you up and you need to take your place. Fulfill your gifts. Get involved. Take responsibility. Be a part of the solution. God will help us. Number two, looking at Proverbs 31:11-12. I love this next part. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Number three on your outline here, a person of trust. A courageous woman, wife, and mother is a person of trust. Notice her family has confidence in her. I told you, men, last week, our job is to defend the family. Our job is to provide safety and encouragement in our family as a man. But let me tell you, the woman's role is very clear. You provide the security of a family. You are the one, not the safety, but the security. To have confidence that the wife and the mother are in charge and got things handled. Families are in disarray because women are feeling insecure. And he says here, this is a person of trust. Her family can trust her. And I want you to know, guys, this is character over time. This is your reputation. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has low days. Come on, is anybody else like me? There's some days you just don't want to get out of that bed, right? Some days when you just had too much, I've just reached my limit. That's when my mama says, Michael Joseph Beal. And I know that she's reached her limit with me. I'd be way out in the yard. I was telling the guys the other day my dad was a famous spanker with a belt. And I knew when he reached his limit because his belt, he would start undoing his belt, you know. And one day we lived on a big hill. I mean, I'm talking about a big, probably a quarter mile hill. And I was biking up the hill and my dad was standing out there with his belt, pulling his belt off. And I'm saying, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't even know what I did. I was just starting to cry. I'm so sorry all the way. Because, you know, we get to that point. We reach our point sometime. I'm not saying that we are perfect. But over time, our character must become one that our family has confidence and trust in us. That we're not leaving. That we're not going to destroy. That we're going to be solid. And they can have, I love that word, confidence. In us. And then the other word that comes out here so clearly, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She's known to be good. Now don't be fooled by that word good. Do you think good means giving everybody what they want? Do you think if your kids want ice cream every single night, you just say, I want to be good to you, so here. Not at all. Good has two sides to it. It means gracious. Gracious means not always how you feel. Gracious means doing what is difficult. But the other side of the coin is so important. It means right. Good means doing what's right in the eyes of God. What is right for them. What is right for this situation. This woman has the confidence. The family has the confidence to know that, hey, she can be trusted to do what's good. She will be gracious with me. She will forgive me when I fall. But I also know that she will do what's right for me, even if the answer is no. Even if no, we're not doing that. That is not right. And I know parenting is no fun. But this is where, if there's anything that I would say about kids in my office, we have counseling with youth in my office, it's the inequity of discipline that they get confused about. You know, mom and dad are really hot, you know, hard on this day, and then they give in on that day. And the kids are like, I don't know how to, you know, I don't know what to do because mom and dad are always going one way or the other. Family, I would just encourage us all to do what's gracious and what's right so our families can have trust and confidence in us. And then the next section it talks a little bit about this wonderful person of responsibility. This lady, listen, these women here, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like a merchant ship. Bringing her food from afar. She must like Chinese food. She gives up while it's still dark, and she provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it, and out of the earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets out her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. Courageous women are hard workers, just like courageous men are hard workers. There's nowhere I can find in Scripture where someone calls laziness courageous. Now, the fact is, many of us are overworked. Is there an amen somewhere there? But there are also many who struggle with laziness. I want you to see the three verbs in this passage. Number one says she selects. She selects. She has a careful nature about what she's doing. And again, ladies and men, this really goes for both of us here. We have to select carefully. We have to ask, what is the best use of our life? What is the best use of our time? What is the best use of our money? You don't just go out there and just throw it out there. To select means you seek out carefully what is the next thing to do. Number two, she provides. The second verb in this passage, she provides. It says she sets a table for her family. She provides. She is constantly and responsibly taking care of her family. They don't have to wonder where the next food is, where the next meal is, how it's going to work. And then the third verb is she considers. And this means to decide on a plan of action. In fact, if we had time, we could actually go through this whole poem and realize a lot of these are military terms, just like they were before, last week with men. This woman of valor here, this Eshet Kayil, this person is like a military person in terms of they understand their role, their responsibilities, and they follow through with them. They can be committed. You can be trusted that they will continue their route throughout the years. Whew. That's a place we all need prayer. Because again, I can be really responsible for a day or two. And then something will come, you know. Something will come at me. And I have to select if this is the right way to go. Is this the wise thing to do? Is this a good investment of my time and money? I need to be selective. And then I need to provide. I have to go through and say, all right, what do my family need and what do I need? And I need to understand that my family is a high priority, as that's my responsibility here as men and women. And then I have to consider, okay, well then what is our long-range plan? Where are we going? How does this get me along the plan? Just like if you're a military soldier, you don't need to go out and fight this battle. It has nothing to do with the end game. You have to fight the battle that's next. Okay. The next section there, verse 20 to 25, we see this woman of courage is also a person of compassion. Great compassion. Look what it says here in verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy ones. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes covering for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. What about that? You see, she's a person of compassion. She cares for the poor. I can't tell you, friends, how much we as husbands, we as fathers, we as men and women have to lead in caring for other people. If we live a life of self-centeredness, our kids will too. If we are always concerned about our dress and our food and our house and our car and our stuff, guess what we are going to produce in our family? Other people like-minded. But I love it here. If she has a heart for the poor and the needy, and they see her serving, do our family, do our neighbors, do our church see us people of service? We need to have that compassionate heart. But at the same time, that is not her only priority. Notice she cares for the needs of her family quite well, too. When winter comes, she has clothes for them. The beds are taken. All the people are well-dressed. Everything is there. She has her priorities in the right place. Because, again, taking care of the needy and the poor can overwhelm your family. How many pastor friends do we know who have a great ministry, but their family is dead at home? I mean, it's always a juggling match here. It's always a trick to try to keep your family, but you have to keep your priorities on your family. And then the last thing, and of course, this is the basis for it all. This, in fact, is the basis for the entire book of Proverbs right here. I love this last phrase, verse 26 through 31 says, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. Listen. But a woman who what? Fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. You know, the last thing, now again, is the heart of the whole matter. That a courageous woman, a courageous wife, a courageous mother is one who is a person of faith. There is no way to be this kind of courageous without having your faith. She speaks wisdom and instruction. Again, ladies and men, those of us who are parents, what we speak, we have the responsibility to pass on these truths, this gospel, this wisdom of the Bible to our children. And how we speak makes all the difference. Because you can say all day, do what I do, not what I say. They can't hear what they can't see what you're doing because they hear what you're saying. We have to speak the wisdom and instruction. And I love this. It says, her children and her husband. Now it says in here, call her blessed, but actually the term in the Hebrew means they bless her with praise. You know, when they look at her life and they look at what this courageous woman has done for them, they go, wow, Mom, you did it. I see God in what you did. We are blessed because of you. And that's our desire, isn't it? I mean, all of us want to be able to have our children come back one day and say, you know, you did an okay job. You represented Christ well. And, of course, the whole heart of the matter, it says, a woman who fears the Lord goes right back to the very first verse, first chapter of Proverbs, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And here he says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Women, we need courageous women like you. I'm not putting a burden on you. I want to praise you because I see these things in your life. But you, as courageous women, and we as courageous men, it's time for us to step up. Last week I showed you the clip from Courageous, the last scene from Courageous. Well, today I want to show you another fantastic movie scene, the last scene of another movie that I know you've heard before. But let this scene, let this thing be the intro into our prayer time as we close.
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm. And will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle that we may proclaim you King of kings and Lord of lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
We need courageous men and women. We who are weak, we are hopeless without you. But with you, Lord, there's nothing that can stand against you. With you, there's nothing that you can't do. We don't know what you're doing, but our eyes are on you. Our hearts are on you. We want to be women of valor. Eshet Kail. We want to be men of courage. Men who are willing to stand up and be the men in the house they're supposed to be. Men who are willing to stand up in the society, in the church, and be who they need to be. Women who are willing to fulfill the roles that God has blessed them with, to lift up and be on the pedestal that God has placed them. They're not less, they're more. They're not under anybody but God. He is their Savior and their Lord. And the structure is not to inhibit, it's to help. It's to strengthen the body. If the men and women of God will only do their parts, together the God cannot be defeated by this world. Lord, we need courageous people. Rise them up, Lord. Rise them up. Bring us back to what we know, who you are, and that we know who we are in you. And Father, I thank you for this proverb. I pray, Lord, that we would be inspired by this picture of wisdom. May this Sabbath song be sung by us to our wives, to the women here. May we sing this song of praise to them for all that they do for so many. And Lord Jesus, may you make us strong. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your holy word. And I pray, as we go through the tides of change in this, even in the 2 days from now, Lord. Change is scary, but it's also wonderful. When you shake the foundations of this earth, Lord, we know now who is standing and who is falling. We know what the rock is only when the storm comes. You don't know if you're standing on the rock until the storm comes. But when the storm comes, you will know. Lord, I pray you just bring a mighty storm to stir all this falseness and let it be washed away. And let that which is true and real and right stand through the test of time. Make us courageous men. Make us courageous women. And we thank you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand and sing this last song together. This altar is open for you if you want to come pray. The Spirit of God has convicted you or challenged you, or you're going through something specific today and you want to come and pray, just please come and use this altar time. We've got altars all around the wall here. This time is yours.
Like a tidal wave crashing over me. ransoming me. Your love is fierce like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce. You cannot fail. The only thing I found is through it all, Lord, you never let me down. Don't hold back, relentless in pursuit. With every turn, I come face to face with you, Lord. Like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing in to meet me. Your love is fierce like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce. You chase me down, you seek me out. How could I be lost when you have caught me found? You chase me down, you seek me out. How could I be lost when you have caught me found? You chase me down, you seek me out. How could I be lost when you have caught me found? Crashing over me, rushing in to meet me. Your love is fierce like a hurricane that I can't escape, rushing in the atmosphere. Your love is fierce. Your love is fierce. You never let go.
Forget men of courage. Don't forget women of courage. You're not alone. We help each other. This is the body of Christ. That's how we work. We need each other to help us in our weak places. And we depend on one another to sharpen us. Iron sharpening iron. Loving us enough to tell us the truth, but also loving us enough to forgive us for the things we fail on. Lord God, I just pray this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus for those women and these men that are here today. And Lord, I just pray that we would be men and women of courage, that we would rise up in these times of change. We would stand firm on the truth, knowing there is only one truth, not many, only one. His name is Jesus. Lord God, go with us from this place. Walk with us day by day, hour by hour. Your love is fierce for sure. Your love encompasses us and encourages us and enables us to be your people. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget tonight, prayer time from 7 to 8. Just come and go as the Lord leads you, but we need to pray. Just come and pray. Tuesday also.